Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Monday. And we got a good show for you. We have a follow-up show, actually. We did a show last week with Peter Rouse on irritable bowel syndrome. And it really sparked a great deal of a response from the listeners. I never realized how many people actually suffer from IBS or know someone who suffers from IBS. I knew what the statistics were, but it really played out in our audience, too. So we got a lot of feedback. We got emails, which led to questions, and Peter was gracious enough to make plans to come right back on the show while it's still fresh in our mind and do a follow-up. How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Carl.
Yeah. You know, I know we said 15 to 20% of the population, which is basically, one in five people, suffers from IBS, and the audience showed it out. I didn't think my audience was going to have that big of a response. I just assumed that they didn't suffer from this, but clearly, the number of downloads we got on the show and feedback on my Facebook page, I believe you got some feedback on your Facebook page. It's amazing, really. There's a lot of people that suffer from it.
I think those figures probably are on the low side, though, so we probably are seeing, numbers that aren't taken into account of people who don't actually look for help for it and suffer all their life. So it could be another 10% higher than the figure they give.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get started on this show, I got to tell you something I've been doing that's really amazing. I've been living a very European lifestyle lately. I have been without a car, and I'm reluctant to even attempt to buy a car right now because there's so much else going on in my life. And I've been walking everywhere. I walk to the gym in the morning. I train. I walk home. I walk to the studio. I walk home from the studio. And I am getting so lean. You know, it's just amazing, especially in this hot Phoenix sun. Do you do a lot of walking, Pete?
I live in Los Angeles, so we don't do a lot of walking here.
No. I mean, no one walks here either. That's the interesting thing. I find that I'm the only person on the road in the morning walking for home from the gym while the sun is starting to hit that 100-degree mark. I guess most people aren't willing to venture out, but I tell you, I feel amazing.
Well, I live in Santa Monica here, so it's actually good to get down to the beach and go for a walk, but I think most people around here live a long way from work, so there's the problem with travel distance as well. You know, it takes an hour in a car, so imagine what it takes you to walk.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to be about 2 miles from the gym and 2.5 miles from the studio, so I can do everything. You know, I can be someplace in 25 minutes. And what am I shaving? Maybe 15 minutes off of that if I drive. By the time you get in the car, go where you're going. You know, I mean, it's not too bad because I'm close to everything. But it's amazing, yeah.
Might be the extra sun exposure too, you know, the vitamin D and everything as well helping out there.
Pete, I take my shirt off. I'm so tan, it's unbelievable. I had some guy, this is funny too, because, you know, I was walking home from the gym this morning and there happened to be, like, the first time in a long time, somebody coming the other way. And as he approached me, he started speaking Spanish. And I figured, I guess I must look Mexican because and I said, excuse me. And he goes, oh, I was saying it's really hot today. I says, oh yeah. I says, it's burning up. And I thought, wow, that's really impressive. I'm that dark. So
I'm on the other end of the scale. I'm about as white as they come at the moment.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so let's start talking. Let's answer some questions. We got a lot of questions to answer from listeners. The first thing that was pointed out, and Peter actually mentioned this after we closed the show, and we were talking off the air, was we didn't really cover any supplements. And we got a couple emails from people asking if there are any supplements. Because interestingly enough, there's a lot of people out there who are dealing with IBS and they're still having some issues, even though they've cleaned up their nutritional protocols. So we're going to first touch on this. Are there supplements that benefit the person who suffers from IBS?
Yeah, totally. We actually give everybody a certain protocol, depending on their symptoms, to correct it. It's a very important component of the healing process.
Okay, so what's the key supplement? What do you do?
Well, there's actually quite a few, but first what we look at is looking at assimilation and assisting the assimilation. I just kind of mentioned that last time on the show. So we look at the basic digestive enzymes, hydrochloric acid, so forth, and making sure that that's all up in check before we actually look at adding anything into the mix as well.
Now, when you talk about hydrochloric acid, do you use betaine HCl?
Yep, that's correct. We actually do a challenge test first to test how much they actually require, and then we can actually, you know, work out the dosage they require from that.
How do you do a challenge test for gut response HCl?
It's a very, you know, quick, you know, it's only very much approximate, but what we do is we use 200 milligrams of HCl for the first meal, and the meal has to be, of course, a protein meal. And if they don't feel any symptoms like warming in the stomach and so forth, then we bump it up to 2 capsules for the next meal, then up to 3, and we take it up to about 12 to 1400 milligrams to see where they get a response. Most people, we get up to all the way up to 1400 milligrams before we don't even get a response, so they need a full dosage. What you do is when you find that you get a dosage that's burning you, say for example you get to 4 capsules, which is 800 milligrams, what you want to do is back off that by 200, so your dosage you want to use is 600 milligrams.
Oh, interesting. Of course, the stomach is producing some, in other words.
Yeah, put this way, if you're taking 200 milligrams and you don't feel anything, you are deficient.
Right.
So you should feel it on the first capsule, ideally. As you age, you also lose that ability to produce hydrochloric acid. People with, you know, we talked about grains last time, but grain consumption and other things as well causes a lot of mineral deficiencies, including zinc, which is essential for the production of hydrochloric acid.
Wow.
So there's a lot of factors contributing to the reduction of HCl production. Probably in the past 10 years, I've seen one person actually with normal levels. Well, on the challenge test, they tested positive on the first capsule.
So they were producing adequate amounts of hydrochloric acid on their own, you're saying. All these years, you've only seen one person.
One person. That's funny.
What about the other digestive enzymes that you can buy in the store, like papain and bromelain and so on? Do they possess any value?
Well, yeah, there's actually kind of a whole series there. Pepsin is the mixture of trypsin, amylase, and lipase. Now, they are kind of essential for breakdown of fat, protein, and carbohydrates, of course. We like to use a product that actually combines all that together, so we have that along with bromelain. Bromelain, do you know what that is?
Yeah, I've heard of bromelain. Yep. They actually put bromelain in, in some bread products as well. As an activator, but yeah, I'm familiar with bromelain. Go ahead. What other ones do you use?
Pepsin, ox bile.
That's
a good one too. Also, especially for the breakdown of the fats, the fatty acids and so forth. So, and we'd like to use a product that kind of combines them all. We use a one called Support Digestion, which is has a good combination of everything in there. But if you're looking for any kind of good quality digestive enzyme that kind of has all that mix in there.
Now, you think everybody, so you really do feel that everybody could benefit from digestive enzymes, then it sounds like.
Yeah. It's one of our essentials. I mean, I know a lot of bodybuilders on the show here and stuff, you know, think creatine is essential and so forth. But as I mentioned before, if you can't assimilate and break down the food you're eating and the supplements you're digesting, then it's a waste of money. So I think it's an essential. They're cheap enough that you can add it in. And a lot of the times, that alone will actually eliminate a lot of the, you know, simple symptoms that people are suffering from, like the bloating and so forth.
What about, there's a physician in the UK that I tried to get on the show. She still may come on, but she discovered a linkage between late onset autism and a flora that is missing from the gut, which causes improper digestion of certain carbohydrate foods that then produces toxins that actually circulate throughout the system and exacerbate the autism. Are digestive enzymes adequate to compensate for something like that?
No, we actually do look at taking a probiotic specifically for that, and I actually have seen that research too, and it looks very interesting. But we take usually start people on quite a broad spectrum probiotic, usually looking at about 40 billion strains, which is a pretty high dosage compared to what most people are taking.
Have you heard about prebiotics?
Prebiotics, yes.
Yeah, they're becoming more and more popular. I read an article about a prebiotic soup made out of artichoke, leeks, onions, and something else, I can't think of it right now, that actually had a greater impact on the production of probiotic gut flora than taking direct probiotics. It was really quite interesting. They looked at the feces of men who ate the soup versus took some ridiculously large probiotic dose, and the excreted probiotics is what they were looking for. And,
well, that's
good. I'm sorry.
Well, that's the basically it feeds the probiotics, so it actually enables the good probiotics to grow.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said this is a much more effective way to increasing proper gut flora than just downing lots of probiotics. But anyway, all right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking more with Peter Rouse. We're going to follow up on the IBS show from last week. We're going to be talking about supplements that work. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to GEAR. GEAR is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. GEAR is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. GEAR causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get GEAR today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. GEAR. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex. Net. A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow. Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, Peter Rouse. We're doing a follow-up show to the IBS show we did last week. And we're talking about supplements. So we just talked about the importance of digestive enzymes. Betaine hydrochloride, perhaps, bromelain. You said that there's a good mix out there called Support Digestion, correct?
Yeah, that's by a company called Biomatrix.
Okay. And that's a pretty
good off the shelf.
Okay. And that's a pretty complete product, obviously, so it has everything in it. What else besides digestive enzymes can help the person suffering from IBS?
Well, a very important one, as we were just discussing before the break, was the probiotics.
Okay,
and,
there you go.
Of course, adding in the prebiotics. There are particular strains that assist more depending on the symptoms, but if you get a good high dosage broad spectrum there to basically counteract the imbalance in the flora in the gut. So you do want to take temporarily a very high dosage just to basically bring that back into a normal balance.
Is it good to take probiotics at night before bed?
We find that it's kind of a twice a day thing we like to use with that. I wouldn't use it before bed, but I use it at night time, after dinner and after breakfast and stuff like that. So it does help with the breakdown as well there.
Okay. All right. So what other supplements are critical for people who suffer from IBS?
One that's actually good for everybody also is the coconut oil.
Really?
That's probably everybody should be on that anyway. But the thing with IBS, of course, with constipation, we use that instead of fiber not being ideal for a IBS patient, we use the coconut oil to help free up the stools and actually get that moving, because it actually stimulates the bowels to move.
You know, I use coconut oil because of the saturated fat content, mm-hmm. because I think that we're way too skittish about saturated fat, and I know coconut oil also has MCTs in it, and it's a good source of oil. How much do you need to take?
With them, I usually start them on a tablespoon three times a day, and that's usually enough to see if it gets moving. We can bump it up, but usually that's enough. I mean, if we go too high too soon, it kind of goes the other way, and they end up getting too loose.
Okay. All right. I
would say for everybody should be taking a tablespoon three times a day.
Really?
Yeah. Really helps.
I probably use more. You know what? I put mine in the fridge, and I let it solidify. And then I
think kind of easy to do that down there, because where we are here, it's cool enough. It stays pretty solid outside the fridge, but if you're in a hot environment, it just turns to.
Oh yeah, I mean, as soon as I get it home and put it in the cupboard, it gets completely liquefied and clarified. It's completely clear. So I put it in the fridge to let it solidify, and then I just hit it with a fork and take chunks of it out at a time and throw it in. I usually put it in my protein drinks, so it slows the protein down a little bit to have a healthy fat in there. But yeah, that's interesting. It does serve quite a few purposes, huh?
Well, it's actually an antiviral, antifungal as well, so it helps with bringing the yeast balance back into balance as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
Good for that. Yeah, that's so it has cool. A lot of other properties that people don't even know about.
And for years, people were afraid of it because of the saturated fat.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, but yeah. It's one of those, the 80s and 90s when it was all about low-fat diets and so forth.
Right, right. All right, so what else can we help the IBS sufferer with?
Well, the essential fatty acids, and most people are thinking about omega-3 when we talk about essential fatty acids, but omega-6 is really essential. And the thing today, again, it's kind of like omega-6 has got the bad rap, like saturated fat. I find that most people today are actually deficient in omega-6. The omega-6 in the diet is very high, but it's high in adulterated omega-6. So when we look at any kind of high-quality omega-6, it's deficient. So we need to look at supplementing with a good-quality, organic...
What do you mean adulterated? What's an example of an adulterated omega-6?
Any processed vegetable oil, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anything you buy off the shelf is pretty much adulterated. We're really careful about what we use. We use a kind of GLA form from biological oil. It's very good. GLA is the next step along, so you've got your LA, which is your short-chain omega-6, then your GLA, and that converts to DGLA. And the reason we want to open that up, because it opens up the pathway to your IgE1 pathway. And IgE1 is actually a more powerful anti-inflammatory than IgE3, which comes from the omega-3.
Interesting. And IG stands for immunoglobulin, correct?
Yeah, and it's a type of antibody, yeah.
Right, right. Okay, so how do you prefer using them? I mean, you just take them with meals?
It's a capsule form. We use a product. It's not easy to find a really good quality one. We use the one from Jarrow Formulas, and that's the biology oil from them. And that's we usually take a 1-to-1 capsule, one of those with a omega-3 capsule from, there's a lot of good brands in there for the omega-3.
Right.
That you might want to. But make sure it's a high dosage of a DHA to EPA ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't buy the stuff off the shelf, both the omega-3 and omega-6. It must be kept refrigerated. Very easy to turn rancid and be damaged by the heat.
Yeah, oil gets rancid really easily, doesn't it?
Yeah, all ours is ordered in. We order in ice-packed, and we keep it in the fridge, and we ice-pack it for our customers too. So it's really important.
Wow, that's amazing. So most, I'll bet most of the oil supplements that are not refrigerated are probably bad when we're buying them, huh?
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's a waste of your money.
That's really sad. That's really sad.
If you're ordering from the internet, you can request, most of these companies, if you request it, they'll ice pack it for you. They might charge you a little bit more, but it's worth it because at least you're getting what you're paying for.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, but who knows if they keep it refrigerated. I buy my fish oil. I buy Carlson's fish oil over at Vitamin Shop because they offer, if you're smart enough to ask for the internet price when you walk into the store, they give you the internet price if you say so when you walk into their retail store. And so I get two bottles of Carlson's fish oil for like $42.
Is it out of the fridge?
No, it's not in the fridge.
I'll have to send you some good stuff then.
That's what I'm just thinking. I'm thinking, I put it right in the fridge when I get it home. I put it in the refrigerator because I like it cold when I slurp it. But it's not in the fridge. I'm just thinking it's too late already, isn't it?
Yeah, too late. It's been damaged. It doesn't take a lot of time either to be damaged. So that's why we actually, when we're shipping around the country to our patients around the country, we ice pack everything.
Because, you know, especially here, I mean, this is Phoenix. I mean, those trucks that it's transporting get really, really hot.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the hotter states, that's going to be just even a short amount of time before it turns rancid. And the omega, what we have found, omega 6 is actually more unstable than omega 3. But that's part of the problem with the long chain omega 3, your DHA and EPA. It's very, very unstable. So you need a very high quality. You want to have a look at what else is in it to make sure it's stabilized. So it has a basic antioxidant formula in it as well stabilize it.
Okay, so plenty of, it sounds like fat is really important to the IBS person. I mean, we're talking about saturated fats, we're talking about essential fatty acids, barge oil. We're talking about all these different types of fats.
Yeah, the funny thing is the main literature out there says to be on a low-fat diet, which is the opposite of what I think they should be doing and what we have been. I mean, our results is basically telling us that it's better to go on a higher fat than you are cutting out the fat.
Why do you think that is? What do you think the fat does for the IBS sufferer?
Well, as I mentioned before, the coconut oil, of course, helps with the bowel movements. The omega-3 and omega-6 is also for inflammatory, and part of the problem with IBS, it could be a pro-inflammatory response. So it helps reduce with that pro-inflammatory response. And as I mentioned, IgE1 is actually more powerful anti-inflammatory than the fish oil. So that's why we need a balance there.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, We have about 5 minutes before the break. Are there other supplements that you want to cover?
Oh, there's tons.
Okay, hi. Let's hit another one then.
Okay. Talking about the inflammatory side of stuff, what we want to look at is the COX-2 inhibitors. So we actually use a product called Taprex by Metagenics. It's the only company that produces that product, I think, as far as I know. And that's actually really good to produce the hypersensitivity and decrease bowel mobility.
You know what's, I just thought of it, but you know what, I know people out that are listening to the show are going to go, oh, here he goes again with ginger. But you know, it's a really powerful inhibitor of cyclooxygenase and also happens to be a, you know, 1,000-year-old remedy for stomach issues, and that is ginger. Ginger oil.
It's on the list.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really? Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, then let's move forward. Okay.
You got turmeric, which is the carrageenan.
Right.
That they use out there for
turmeric
anti-inflammatory effect.
Right.
That's also a COX-2 inhibitor too, so that aids along that same pathway. So that could actually really help with them as well.
You think it's adequate just to like cook with turmeric and those types of herbs that have started out as flavor enhancing herbs for cooking and now found their way into alternative medicine because of their anti-inflammatory properties. Do you think that it denatures them when you cook with them and eat it?
There is some denaturing found, but also the amount of dosages we're using is more concentrated. So to get the dosage you want, you'd have to be eating quite a bit.
Okay. So it's better. So in other words, it's better to supplement with it than just to assume. Well, I'll just cook curry chicken twice a week, or add some turmeric to it.
That's not a bad thing to do as well. In addition, to get into your food, but the dosage we want to do it for therapeutic uses is a little bit higher than what you can get from that.
What do you think about all of these gel caps, Peter? You have any feelings about gel caps? I've become very suspicious. I take so many supplements, and all of them are made with some form of gelatin. Is that gelatin okay? Is it doing anything to us? You think it's clogging anything up, and especially with the IBS sufferer?
It can be problematic. That's why we use only physicians-only brands of supplements, which use a different type of encapsulation process. Companies like Pure Encapsulation are really known well for that. Of course, their name speaks for it. And the gelatin is either from a animal source or vegetable source. The vegetable source seems to be much better tolerated than the animal source. A lot of the cheap ones are all animal-sourced.
Because my concern with gelatin from animal sources is this. They end up with the, I mean, let's face it, gelatin is made out of hooves. It's made out of ligaments and tendons and all that sort of stuff. And I have to believe that they use, agents and solvents to clarify it and make it more uniform. And so while the FDA in its divine wisdom says, well, you can be exposed to just this many parts per millionth of this solvent, when you're taking 30 capsules a day, every day for 5 years, you're exposing yourself to a lot more of it. I just have to believe that all that gelatin, all those gel caps are not good.
Definitely not. I mean, that's why we actually go for the better quality. I'd rather spend a few bucks more on a better quality product than knowing that I'm not adding all that toxins into my body. And you're right, they are actually very heavily processed to produce the gelatin. So that's something we try to avoid as much as possible.
Yeah.
And you'll find a lot of ones off the shelf in the supermarket, most of them are animal-based gelatin.
Yeah, and 90% of them are. The cheapest gel caps out there are made from hydrolyzed animal protein. And I have to believe that there's other agents along with it that are not good for us. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the supplements that benefit the IBS sufferer. We're also going to be answering some specific questions that were posed on the Superhuman Radio website, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Baby mamas, mamas. Yeah, go like this.
Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Sciences Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences Uprising.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest, Peter Rouse, with talking about IBS Part 2, supplements that benefit the IBS sufferer. Okay, where do you want to go next, Pete?
I guess really the next one is looking at the repair process. You know, we've discussed reducing inflammation, so part of the repair process is probably one of the top essential ones is the L-glutamine.
L-glutamine, you know? Really?
Yeah, that's now, really important.
Now, you know what's interesting? Dr. Mauro DiPasquale is the one who first taught me years and years ago that L-glutamine has an affinity to the intestines. And yeah. He associated the distension that occurs from GH gut to more a result of fluid being pulled into the lining of the intestines as a result of the high-protein diet that stimulates a greater degree of glutamine production as opposed to organ growth. And he said evidence of that is when an athlete comes off and stays off for a year or two, their stomach normally goes back to normal, and that's because their intestines actually kind of shrink. So mm-hmm. glutamine obviously has an affinity to the intestines, and that's what we're talking about here when we talk about irritable bowel syndrome, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's important. It's actually the whole mucosal barrier is actually uses glutamine as part of its structure. So it's actually important as far as structure and function of the entire gastrointestinal tract. It's also very much important with the immune system to help maintain IgA levels, which is the antibody that prevents attachment of the foreign substances to the mucosal cells. So it actually prevents that being attacked.
Interesting. Interesting.
So it actually has several kind of factors that come in there that actually helps with repair and also with assistance with the IgA levels.
How much glutamine should someone supplement with?
Well, we can take up to 30 grams a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, we take it really a high, depending on what we find. We actually test that before we kind of go that level. We do a mucosal barrier test, which is a saliva test that we use also. And that will tell us what's going on there and how much damage is there. So we may need to take them to 30 grams. Even if you're taking, you know, 10 grams a day, that's a good dosage at a baseline.
Wow. Okay. And it's not adequate, obviously, just to assume that you're getting enough glutamine production if you're eating a high-protein diet, because obviously there may not be the enzymatic changes required to break down into the component amino acids, right? Is it safe to assume that if you're eating high protein, you don't need to supplement with glutamine?
Well, we want to take it on top of that between meals separately, so it's actually it's utilized differently when you take it as a standalone.
Okay.
Yes, and also because we mentioned before, we're taking the digestive enzyme into hydrochloric acid. You know, peptides are broken down and it's all much better anyway. So you are definitely going to be assimilating that glutamine from the food or the protein that you're eating, but that may not necessarily be used in the repair factor, which a lot of it is, but we want to increase that concentration by taking it between meals.
Okay. Are there any other supplements before we start answering some questions on the boards?
I mean, you want to cover? Maybe cover a couple of basic ones that people can help them with. You know, these are things really to calm the stomach down.
Okay.
Suffering from the symptoms.
Okay.
Things like peppermint. Peppermint is really good for that.
Say again, please.
Peppermint.
Oh, peppermint. Yeah.
They can take it. If we find peppermint tea is a good way to take that, they can take it in a supplemental form also if they wanted to. And chamomile, you've heard of chamomile before.
Sure,
so,
chamomile, sure.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I personally drink a lot of that myself just to help with that. As you mentioned before, ginger is a very good calmative, so that also reduces that kind of side effects that people are getting from the IBS.
Right. Yeah. It's a matter of fact, people can take ginger if they are nauseous for just about any reason, including car sickness or whatever. I mean, it really does attenuate nausea very quickly with a small dose of it. So,
yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a lot. We use it for, you know, there's other purposes for the ginger, but for the gastrointestinal, you can take it in a form of ginger tea and or you can take it as a supplement. So
I drink ginger tea every time I do a show. There's a cup here next to me. I drink ginger tea. I buy the, I want to say it's called Buddha brand, ginger tea over at Trader Joe's. I love it.
Well, it's a really popular ingredient in Asia. So, it's kind of a natural herb anyway, used in Chinese medicine as well. So, for many purposes, including gastrointestinal problems. So, yeah. You mentioned it earlier. It actually is a very important herb for use.
Yeah, it's also highly chemoprotective. There's enough research out there now that's actually causing the medical orthodoxy to look at gingerol, which is the active component in ginger. It's gingerols and shogols, and the gingerol seems to have a powerful ability to reestablish the apoptotic landscape and actually can make tumors shrink and all sorts of stuff. It's like magic. I mean, Pete, don't underestimate it because it grows out of the ground and it doesn't come from a pharmacist. It is absolutely going to be a frontline chemotherapy in probably in the next decade or two. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind about it.
It's already been used for that in Asia itself. I lived in Asia for a while and worked in that field. And with the chemo patients we're working with, along with a number of other Chinese herbs, it really makes a big difference. Huge.
There was a study done here in the United States. I don't remember where it was. I read it a couple of years ago. But it was a clinical trial where they gave individuals chemo plus ginger plus gingerol. They got the gingerol from a pharmaceutical company in Canada called Alton Pharmaceutical that now synthesizes pure 6-gingerol, which is one of the main constituents that has the ability to correct cancers. And they gave some patients a placebo plus chemo, and they gave other patients chemo plus the ginger extract. And the ones who had the ginger extract had a much higher survival rate and much lower reoccurrence over a 4-year period that they followed them after the initial chemotherapy of the cancer coming back. So it's really – and now they're talking about – possibly starting to use ginger in some clinical trials as a first-line monotherapy to see what it does, because it's in rats, it makes tumors shrink, it makes colon cancer go. Orally administered, it works on the colon. It's very bioavailable, very, very bioavailable.
You'll probably see the pharmaceutical industry come in soon and try to either patent or get it blocked somehow. But
well, no, they're doing it. They're gonna synthesize it. They're gonna say, why take ginger extract that's standardized to maybe when we can just give you pure 6-gingerol? But here's the mistake that we've made over and over again, and you think that we'd learn. These drugs don't act the same. There are other ingredients that aren't even identified yet in ginger that are having an effect. And so when we try to isolate something, a lot of times we lose what we were searching for. It doesn't work as good.
Yeah, that's very true. That's why a lot of the whole food supplements are far better than the manufactured supplements sometimes too, because of the fact that it is that whole food that we don't know what else is missing from that when they actually manufacture it.
Right. There's other synergies going on. You know, nature knows what it's doing. It's, you know, this idea that we know better than nature really is something that frustrates me, and it's part of the reason we're in the crappy cesspool of a planet we have today, is because of our attitude that, you know, we know better than nature. We can make Dolly the sheep out of a cell, and we're as close to God as you're going to get, and we know better. And you know, so it anytime you apply that sort of omnipotent attitude, you get yourself in trouble. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, the people who get in trouble the most are the ones who are taking these drugs, you know, on the advice of their doctors, and they're not working the way they're supposed to. So, there you go.
I mean, definitely that causes a big problem.
What about, so ginger is also one that calms. Anything else that's worthwhile looking into, like valerian root or anything like that?
Valerian root is a calmative, more on the central nervous system. So for the gut, it can have some assistance there, because the gut, of course, is, you know, have you read the book, The Second Brain?
No.
Okay, that talks about how the gut actually is, has a second brain. Basically, it can operate on itself without connection to the brain. They've actually severed the nerve there, and it still operates fully
really?
On its own. Yeah, it's actually a really interesting field now that they're looking into. The intrinsic nervous system is called.
What is it called? What nervous system?
Intrindric.
Intrindric.
Yeah, and that's basically that part of the nervous system operates independently of the brain. There's actually more signals going to the brain than there is coming into the gut. So it's more telling the brain what to do in some ways than the brain telling the stomach, the gut, what to do.
Really?
Yeah, so anything to involve the nervous system with the gut, and that's why stress is a big factor there as well, because the influence on the nervous system with stresses and so forth. And it's tied in with the parasomatic and somatic nervous system, so that's, of course, your fight and flight.
The enteric nervous system, is that what you said?
Yes.
Just like enterically coated pills allow the capsules and pills not to be digested in the stomach, but make their way into the intestines.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the enteric nervous. I'm going to read about that. I'm looking at it right now. It's really cool.
It's a really good book. It's a worthwhile read. It's a dry read.
Yeah.
But it's a definitely worthwhile read. It's actually, even if you just skim through it and just read the summaries of chapters and stuff like that, you'll get a lot out of it.
Did we cover this before? And if we did, I apologize. Did we talk about the onset age, the most common onset age of IBS?
We mentioned last time you mentioned this, it was more common with the elderly, going up to 30, 40, 50 years of age, but now we're seeing it more.
That's right, you did say that, younger and younger, right, and that's because of the diet and induced aspect of it, right,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, so are there any other calming agents we need to cover before we go into the break?
I think that covers the basics.
Okay, all right, we're going to go into the break now. When we come back, Pete, I want to talk about we on the Superhuman Radio website, we had a couple people mention milk, because they know that I'm a big proponent of raw dairy, and how milk is affected or affects the IBS sufferer. And you have some expansive information that you want to deliver, because people are kind of confused about that. So we'll come back. We're going to cover that question for those of you out there who asked. We're talking today with Peter Rouse. Hey, Peter, what's the website again?
AFPerformanceCenter.com.
AFPerformanceCenter.com. A like Albert, F like Foxtrot, PerformanceCenter.com. You can visit and communicate with Peter there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to GEAR. GEAR is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. GEAR is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. GEAR causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get GEAR today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. GEAR. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com. Today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you have IBS or you know someone who's suffering from IBS and they need some additional assistance, you can get in touch with Peter Rouse by visiting his website, A Like Apple, F Like Foxtrot, Performance Center. .com, right? Performance Center. It's singular. Okay.
Well, they can actually go to A Performance as well, and it'll actually take them to the site.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. All right. So we rustled a couple feathers because I've been preaching raw milk, raw milk, raw milk. But obviously, when you have an issue like IBS, you may not be able to eat like everybody else. As you know, people can get away with a lot more when they don't have certain issues. But a lot of folks on the board wanted to know, you know, why milk is not good for someone who has IBS. So what do you say, Pete?
Well, it goes beyond that. It's actually probably not good for anybody, really. But most people think, of course, straight away, you know, lactose intolerant, which is, you know, not really an issue. If someone brought up on the forum that there are bacterial balances involved with raw milk products. Part of the problem with that was raw milk is becoming harder and harder to get hold of. Some states it's totally illegal, and even where you can get it, it's been cracked down by the FDA, as we know just recently.
Yeah, so, what was the name of that company? Rawsome, right, in California?
Rawsome in Venice, yeah. It was raided last Wednesday by the FBI.
Could you imagine in the state of financial despair that this country is in, that this government is spending a nickel on chasing after people who belong to a buying club that are buying raw milk? I mean, shame, shame, shame on whoever is at the helm of these types of investigations. Shame on you. Your political corruption level is like at maximum right now. Stop it. Go after terrorists. Go after people who are really damaging this country. People who are buying raw milk. I mean, most of these people are good, wholesome American people, for crying out loud. This is not what laws were designed for. I know we're a nation of laws, but there's applications of laws that are inappropriate sometimes. This is ridiculous.
And an interesting thing, too, is when was the last time you heard of a case of contamination of raw milk products?
Yeah, I know. I know. Just recently we had yet another recall in California of spinach from a company that manufactures, you know, spinach and distributes it to the nation. And, you know, but yeah, I don't know anybody who gets sick from drinking raw milk. I haven't been drinking as much of it lately just because of accessibility. But I drank milk for 5, 6, 7 years, raw milk. My kids did. We never got sick. None of us.
Well, I mean, you look at everything, it's the whole industrial system. We see something every week being recalled, or there's a warning about something every week, and it's all industrial food process.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the organic, you know, farmers and everything like that. So,
yeah, yeah, but yet pharmaceutical companies can doctor up clinical research, get drugs mm-hmm. pushed through the FDA, kill some people. No one goes to jail. No one goes to mm-hmm. jail. But God forbid you should want to buy raw unpasteurized milk. Oh boy. Next thing you know, they're going to have people walking around restaurants to make sure that your steak isn't too rare. And they're going to say that eating sushi is dangerous because it's raw fish, and they're going to outlaw that. You mark my words. It's just a matter of time.
What they actually got them on was a licensing issue, which was actually invalid because of the fact that because of the club and the laws, they actually didn't require a license.
Right.
It's a whole, I don't
right.
know what they're trying to do there.
Right. They're very skillful in what they're doing. Because a simple, you know, this could have been rectified without the FBI coming out and shutting them down.
Yeah, so I think you're going to find that, you know, getting raw milk products anyway is going to be harder and harder. And the FDA does have an agenda about that, and they've had that for quite a few years, and they've been trying to crack down on that. Of course, the loopholes in the law are preventing it, but they have. I've heard of other raids around the country where they've gone in and raided these clubs. So, you may find it harder and harder to find a wolf foot.
But you're saying raw milk is not even good for the IBS sufferer, and you said it's because
of anybody, really. I mean, I'm not a big fan of dairy, full stop, in general, and primarily, okay, we talked about lectins last week, and that could be a factor too with some milk products if they're grain fed. So you're actually still getting the grain lectins from that contamination.
Right.
But something else a lot of people don't realize is the beta-salian, which is a hormone that's in milk.
And it's beta-salian, S-A-L-L-I-A-N, you said?
C-E-L-L.
Oh, C-E-L-L.
U-L-I-N.
U-L-I-N. Beta-salian. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, this hormone basically binds to the EGF receptors that are found in the gut. The EGF receptors, these are the epidermal growth factor receptors that are in the gut. That's responsible for a lot of the healing in the gut, to heal the gut wall, the mucosal barrier and everything like that. So it's actually very important with that.
Right.
Your saliva actually produces EGF. And it produces, in a 24-hour period, in a whole day, it produces about 35.3 nanograms is the average, is the six on that.
Okay.
With the beta-salian, that actually binds to the EGF receptor and ties up that receptor. What we found in 1 liter of milk, you're having 1,930 nanograms of beta-salian in that 1 liter of milk. So a single cup is about 450 nanograms. That's 10 times more than what the saliva produces in a day. So it's binding to those EGF receptors in the gut, tying it up so that the EGF one can't actually attach and do its job.
What does EGF stand for?
EGF?
Yeah.
Epidermal growth factor receptor.
Okay. Ah, okay, sure. So that's why you said it influences healing. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very important factor there. But it's not only involved with the healing, what they're finding is actually a big problem with cancer.
Really?
Some drug company is actually looking at some EGF...
Targeted drugs?
Yeah, they're basically blocking the EGF receptor, so it reduces, cancers and so forth. And if you have cancer, of course, it reduces the growth factor of the cancers. So, they're looking at doing that, but you can easily solve that problem by stopping eating dairy. You get a very high dosage of stimulation of those receptors from the dairy. I mean, just one cup is 10 times more than what you produce of the EGF in the saliva per day.
Right. Right.
Even meats, a lot of people ask about meats and stuff like that. That's actually in the normal dosage range. It's milk is the one that's very, very high concentration of the beta-salian, so it's destructive in that sense.
Interesting.
And so, also for the IBS patient, of course.
So and as a result, you weren't concerned about lactose being the contributor to the IBS symptoms in this particular case.
We do see a lot of people with lactose intolerance, but that's not the key problem.
Yeah, but even at that, even if lactose was the issue, raw milk carries lactase. You're more concerned with both the potential for lack of lectins, but more importantly, this beta-salian, and you feel okay. And obviously, if the lining of the stomach and intestines can't heal, then it's going to promote the problem to even a greater degree.
And then there's, of course, the risk factor of cancers, which we know is number one killer in this country.
Do people who have IBS have any higher risk of any types of digestive-related cancers?
I actually haven't looked into that. It would be interesting to kind of go into that and have a look. But I would suspect so, one, because of the inflammation factor there would increase the risk. Also, we'd see the reduction in the immune system. So I think that would actually be a big factor as far as risk factors of cancer.
Right.
It's a question of immune system and the inflammation present.
Interesting.
So definitely a possible link there. I actually haven't looked into it directly because we see, I work on the digestive system as a whole, so we work with it with everybody anyway, no matter what the case is.
I had a conversation after the IBS show that we did with a young lady who was telling me that her cousin has had IBS for many years. And that she was aware, she had already gotten some help and she was aware of certain foods not to eat, especially grains and soy and so on and so forth. Yet she still eats grain and soy because she rather eat grain and soy than tackle this disease and be without, you know, bread and pasta and stuff for the rest of her life. Do you find that with IBS sufferers, the way they kind of draw the line in the sand? They go, oh, the hell with it. I'd rather feel sick from IBS than give up these foods?
Not just IBS, but, you know, the whole spectrum of patients we get coming in, you know, that can be a problem. A lot of the time people just don't want to give up these things. It's, well, you know, grains alone can be addictive. You know, they actually have addictive actions in them with brain chemistry. So they do affect brain chemistry similar to that of heroin. So, again, often can be a mission for some people. And you know, like the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So you can give them the information, but at the end of the day, it's them who's stuffing their face with the stuff that's going to slowly kill them.
I don't understand that. Even like people who have diabetes, and you say to them, you know, you could be completely diabetes free in like 3 to 6 months. And they don't see the value in that. They're like, well, my blood sugar is fine now that I'm taking metformin.
Yeah, I mean, the type 2 diabetes, what's the, I think it's a 19 years age reduction for females on average. So you can add 19 years, potentially up to 19 years to your life.
Shorter life. Yeah, right. Increase your lifespan by 19 years just by reversing your diabetes.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want another 19 years, right, as long as it's functional 19 years?
But people don't want to do it. When you talk to people about it, they're like, my blood sugar is really good right now. I'm using these two drugs, and it seems to be under control. And I'll say to them, yeah, but you don't understand. You're masking the symptoms, but you're still diabetic, and you're still going to have all of the damage to your body that diabetes brings with it. And it's almost like you didn't say it. They go, yeah, but my blood sugar is fine.
Basically, people are too lazy to do what's necessary. I do see that a lot. They just can't be bothered. It's easier to take a pill than to make changes in their lifestyle.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the show, Pete. Let's go ahead and plug your website again. It's good. You give it this time. AF.
AFPerformanceCenter.com. They can also catch me on my blog if they want to. It's just CoachRouse.com.
And it's Rouse, CoachRouse.com. Yeah, I know. I was actually reading your blog. That's how I found out about Rawsome.
And then
then I went back. The guy who has that website, the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, he's actually been on my show a couple times with Judith McGeary when we talked about back a couple years ago. Well, maybe it was the beginning of last year when we started talking about NAIS, and we were talking about some of the other things going on with raw milk industry. And I can't think of his name right now, but he was actually on the show. And I saw that was one of the links on your blog to his website there. So,
yeah, he's one of the ones who broke the story, I think, initially. I was also speaking to someone who was actually working there at the time when it happened. And I plan to go down to see them on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'd like to get somebody from Rawsome on the air with us, because I'd like to know more about what exactly was done to them, what was said to them, you know, were there any shots across the bow before they came in? They said, hey, you know, you better shut down. I'd like to know more about it. So if you can reach somebody, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, they actually shut down the cameras in the store when they went in there. So they actually prevented them from being filmed as well.
Yeah. The government doesn't want to be videoed. You saw what happened. You saw what happened with Rodney King, right?
Exactly.
All right, Pete, thanks so much for coming on the air today and finishing up the information on IBS, okay?
Okay, thanks, Cal.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow with another show.